Assemble devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto. The creation of the fourth order. Chapter 13. Description of the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. And text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vidyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parayreshwara Sadyo Hridyavarudhyate Trakriti Bishushrushu Bistakshanat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam shukamukadamrita dravasam yutam pivata bhagavatam rasam alayam muhurahurasika bhuvi bhavuka. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nitam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Narayanam namaskritta naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. We pay our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, who is the representative of Srila Vyasadeva and our Acharya. So I would like to also mention before, just as we are reciting the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can also meditate on the glories of the place where the Srimad Bhagavatam is worshipped and recited. In this case, New Dwarka Dham, the glories of New Dwarka. Actually, it is mentioned, it may have been a perplexing instruction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. Sadhu Sangha, it is called five potent forms of devotional service. Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Matura Vasa, Srimurtira, Shradhaya Sivan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami, saying, one should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, so Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan, reside at Mathura. Mathura Vasa. Srimurtira Shradhaya Sivan, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. So, it is obvious, but just to worship New Dwarka, the holy dam, it is obvious that this Mathura Vasa, does it mean that the whole planet is expected to reside in Mathura? Because the whole planet is expected to become Krishna conscious. That is expected. How possible it is for us to do that is something else. But this Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, is for that. For liberating the whole planet, freeing the whole planet. And we understand from Chaitanya Charitamrita that when he appeared, the whole universe was liberated, as much as we can understand that. So that is the... and again, it was filled. So it requires to be liberated again by the Lord himself, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the form of this Hare Krishna movement. So we should appreciate how Srila Prabhupada has created the holy dam all over the world, how New Dwarka, we call New Dwarka, but all the Tirthas, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, Mayapur, it is all contained within New Dwarka. All these holy dams, it is one of the gifts, of the many gifts of His Divine Grace to the world and particularly to us. So we should appreciate. It is just a question of circumstances and maybe for some of the devotees of choice, which of the many holy places that Srila Prabhupada has brought to us where we happen to be. So we are very fortunate to be in the most glorious dham of New Dwarka. Everything is complete, just like Om Purnama Daha Purnami Dham. How New Dwarka is complete in spiritual opportunities, and how it is given all of us who are fortunate to have it as our address, as our place of residence, offering the opportunity to attain perfection in this lifetime. Prabhupada was very keen in saying that. I remember his departure lecture from Caracas. Just a few minutes. It's actually recorded on folio. 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. And at the end he just said, just keep on doing this, which is what we were doing, what we always do in an ISKCON temple. And be assured that at the end of this life, you will see Krishna face to face. So that we have heard that other times from Srila Prabhupada and other places. So, if we wonder how is it that we are supposed to live in Mathura, it is already a fact. We have always understood that Mathura, Vrindavan, Mayapur means a state of mind, a state of consciousness. And we may be in the original Vrindavan and not be there. And we may be any place in the world, and by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we may be living in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. So it is wonderful that, and we should appreciate and take full advantage of this opportunity, how we have this chance of being connected to New Dwarka. And all these other items are contained: Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vasa, Srimurtir, Shradhaya Sivan. So we have this opportunity to perform devotional service of this quality, of this category, by the grace of this holy Dham, New Dwarka. So again, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tim va amha vene udisha brahma dandam ayuyujan dandavrata dhare ragi munaya dharma kovida Kim vam hovena udisha Brahmadandam ayujuyan Dandavrata dhari ragi Munayo dharma kovida Kim vam hovena udisha Brahmadandam ayujuyan Dandavrata dhari ragi Munayo dharma kovida Kim vam hovena udisha Brahmadandam ayujuyan Dandavrata dhari ragi Munayo dharma kovida Kimvam ho vena udisha Ramadandam ayujuya Dandavrata dare ragi Munayo dharma kovida Kim vam ho vena udisha Brahmadandam ayujuyan Dandavrata dhari ragi Munayo dharma kovida Kim vam ho vena udisha Dandavrata ayujuyan Dandavrata dhare ragi Munayo dharma kovida Kim vam ho vena udisha Ramadandam ayujuya Dandavrata dhare ragi Munayo dharma kovida Ramadandam ayujuya Dandavrata dhare ragi Munayo dharma kovida
Matajis
Kim vam ho vena udisha Brahmadandam ayujuya Dandavrata dhari ragi Munayo dharma kovida Kim vam ho vena udisha Dandamayu juya Dandavrata dhari ragi translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kim. Why? Va. Also. Amha. Sinful activities. Vene. Antavena. Odisha. Seen. Brahmadandam. The curse of a Brahmana. Ayuyujan. They desire to award. Dandavrata. Dhare. Who carries the rod of punishment. Ragi. Unto the king. Munaya. The great sages. Dharma Kovida. Completely conversant with religious principles. Translation. Vidura also inquired, how is it that the great sages who were completely conversant with religious principles desired to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment, Brahmashap? Vidura also inquired, how is it that the great sages who were completely conversant with religious principles desired to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment, Brahmashap? Purport. It is understood that the king is able to give punishment to everyone. But in this case, it appears that the great sages punished him. The king must have done something very serious. Otherwise, how could the great sages, who were supposed to be the greatest and most tolerant, still punish him in spite of their elevated religious consciousness? It appears also that the king was not independent of the Brahminical culture. Above the king was the control of the Brahmanas, and if needed, the Brahmanas would dethrone the king or kill him, not with any weapon, but with the mantra of a Brahma Shap, of a curse. The Brahmanas were so powerful that simply by their cursing, one would immediately die. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Bandhi Shri Gurum Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Ananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. Kim Vam Hovena Odisha Brahma Dandam Ayujujan Danda Vrata Dhare Ragi Munayu Dharma Kovida. Vidura also inquired, how is it that the great sages who were completely conversant with religious principles desired to curse to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment, Brahmashap? So, in between lines of this purport is the idea, the notion that the king can do no wrong. Actually, the king is one who punishes. Well, who is to punish? Is he? Who is to punish him? Is he to be punished? So everything has to be understood in context. And we actually wonder nowadays, how was it possible for society to function that way? Everything has to be understood in context. Actually, a few A few days ago, in the morning reading, the thought for the day from ninth canto, it was read, how guaranteed it seemed from what we read there, guaranteed that basically a king is a sense gratifier. So everything has to be understood in context, because we are placing, we see so many other places, so many other quotes, where such an exalted position is given to the king in Shastra. Tomorrow, it will be read, Naradeva, Naranarayan, is going to be said tomorrow by Prabhupada in the purport. So that the king is so exalted. No matter what his beliefs are, actually, it is the system. We are followers of system. It is the system. And so much so that one instance, for example, when Sanatan Goswami wanted to resign his post, and he feigned that he was sick, he called sick that day. And actually what he was doing, he had called Brahmanas to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. So after a few days, the Nawab, equivalent to the king of the area, he became suspicious. He went, you know the story, he went to see Sanatan Goswami. And it is interesting how he was received, how this king was received by the Brahmanas. It is mentioned, this is marked by Srila Prabhupada, actually, in the purport. And also in a class, at least I remember one class from a tape from 1966, I believe, that he was reading from Chaitanya Charita, from Madhya Lila in 66 in New York. And he was mentioning this, how the king, although he was a Patan, he was a Muslim, still he was considered, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, he represents the power of Krishna, a part of Krishna's power. So Prabhupada explains that anyone, and he mentions the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how any powerful person, any power that we see in this world represents, comes from Krishna, represents Krishna. So he particularly said, some powerful person in the executive government. So he also represents. So everything has to be understood in context. We are praising monarchy. Prabhupada has spoken very highly of monarchy. And he also said very specifically, is better than democracy, he says there. Now, could present society actually function under that system, first of all? And then, besides that, are we to promote that system? Is it our business to promote political change, for example? Is that our business? So it is my personal conclusion, and from studying Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and from seeing how he organized his movement, and what instructions he left for us, actually, we all had the chance to observe that at some point Srila Prabhupada was supporting some of his disciples that were interested in politics. And that changed. And at some point after that, because there was an unfortunate incident, and there was a death involved, an attack and a death. So that changed. And we can see from incidents like that, just like Like we understand that there are in Shastra mention of so many processes of self-realization. Many processes are there. But now for Kali Yuga, Kalo nastieva, 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 insistently said, there's only one way. No other way, no other way, no other way. So things have been, in one sense, adjusted. The chanting of the holy name has always been there, but there were so many other processes. But at this time, only one process can be recommended. So it has had to be adjusted so we may read so many things in Shastra. So also we have to adjust, and Srila Prabhupada did just that. Of course, he is Acharya in the highest sense and meaning of the word. Shaktyavesh Avatar, he has a very particular, in fourth canto actually, you will see how Srila Prabhupada speaks, mentions this Shaktyavesh Avatar, and you can understand it. It is referring to him. Now he's an empowered incarnation. Empowered incarnation means that a person, he's a jiva, he's a person, but is able to do something that only God can do. So, Srila Prabhupada had that power. And it has been certified by the success, by his success, Palena Parichyate, if by nothing else. Of course, we can certify it by Shastra. But seeing is believing, generally speaking. So, we can see very clearly. And we can, by seeing his instructions, by analyzing his instructions, we can see this. How he was empowered. So we all came very innocently to this Krishna consciousness movement, meaning, you know, very candidly, innocently, unexpected. We just came looking for shelter, one way or the other, looking for relief. And all of a sudden, overnight, we are given the responsibility of saving the world. Just see the fun. Overnight. So, it is a fact, just like Srila Prabhupada said, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left the whole world to be predicated, to be preached by, to be rescued by the ISKCON movement, by the Hare Krishna movement. So in the same way, we see that Srila Prabhupada has also left us with something, some very big responsibility of how to apply, how not to change these Vedic principles, how to take the gist of these Vedic principles of Vedic society, how to apply that in modern society. And no one is above, these days, no one is above punishment. No one is above the law, we say. So, so many things. Once again, I have the opportunity of speaking on punishment, which is such a big topic. Very big topic of punishment, which brings the topic of judicial system. Just a few days ago, there was the anniversary, 34th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's saying, of these words of Srila Prabhupada. The 19th of June, those of us who have the perpetual calendar, everyday calendar, where Prabhupada's thought of the day. So that on the 19th of June, 1972, Prabhupada said, if there is lack of obedience, then there cannot be discipline. And without discipline, we cannot manage a huge world organization. And of course, when you speak of discipline, then immediately you have to, it transfers all the way to a judicial system. So there must be a judicial system. and judicial system means that there must be sanction, punishment. I will end by, there's no coincidence, I guess. We live by the fact that there's no coincidence. So this week I received the following letter, which very much pertains to the topic, and I thought I should share it with you. My question is, says this letter, in regard to the suffering that happens in the hellish planets, does this suffering purify the souls so that they do not do the same thing again? Or do they forget and repeat their sinful actions? And if they are purified, is this torture the only way that these dull souls can learn? Do some souls never learn? It just seems so horribly morbid. I guess that I am having a hard time understanding how the embodiment of love personified can approve of such suffering. My daughter, who is not in Krishna consciousness, told me that she cannot believe that there is a God of love due to the horrible suffering she has gone through. And this is on this planet. Her suffering has convinced her that there could not be a good God. So, somehow or other, we understand that it is a fact that punishment, just like when we think of punishment, we have to immediately think punishing what? What was the sin? What was the fault? So this whole world, our whole existence is about doing something wrong and being punished. Just like there's a concept in modern culture of the original sin. And it is such. Yes, there is such a thing. And the original sin is forgetfulness of Krishna. And then there is the original punishment, which continues on and on, which is this whole material world managed by Durga, this fortress. So whether we accept it or not, is there any other definition that can be given to the world? And I will end with that question. We define the world, it may be seen by some as that we are fatalism, that we look everything, we think everything is bad, gloomy, doom. So under that definition, this world, well, the whole concept, our whole existence is a very sad one. So just imagine having to live without understanding that this whole life is just very sad, gloomy. Now I wonder, what other definition of life is there that you know of? Anybody would like to offer? Any other religion? Is there any other choice of how defining this life, this world? Anybody has heard any other concept that can challenge the Krishna conscious concept? Yes. They believe that? We should make it. But is it there? We should make it means that it will come. But what is the definition? So the definition will be that try to make this heaven. Try to overturn the current, which is that this world is Dukalayam Ashashvatam. That is Dukalayam, the residence, the place of dukkha, of sadness. We give a preference to our president. Yes?
Well, Papa, I forget the name, but Papa quotes a hedonist in Vedic culture who said, just whenever possible, just eat ghee at any cost, by hook or by crook. Just what's his name?
Charvakya Muni.
Charvakya Muni, yeah. Charvakya Muni. Just, you know, eat nice palatable foodstuffs and you'll be happy.
What was that? Steal, borrow?
Borrow, steal, beg.
Beg, borrow, or steal.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Ghee.
Hedonism, it probably equates it to hedonism of modern society. that don't worry about anything. Just get out there and eat and have fun. Whatever feels good, just do it. So what if there's a little bit of reaction? So what? You're enjoying. You may get a sour stomach, but don't worry, it'll go away. Tomorrow's another day. Eat more then.
So Prabhupada also answers to that. So we just said, Dukalayam Asaswatam. That he says that, yes, you may think, Dukalayam, you suffer, but you enjoy. That's the point. You suffer, but you enjoy. When you tell them it's Dukalayam, well, it's not all suffering. There's enjoyment also. But then the Muniputra Chira, what is that? Rajaputra Chiranjiva. Muniputra Majiva. That yes, Rajaputra Chiranjiva, you live for the prince you're enjoying, live forever. You better live forever. He says, live forever. That's my blessing. But the fact is, Ashashvatam, it is temporary. No matter what adjustment you make, and actually, adjustment means that you're feeling the pinch. And it's an attempt, like I was replying before, that enjoyment is there to come, but it is not a place of enjoyment. There is no other definition that I can see. I've never heard of any other definition of what this world is. This world is definitely the place in which we are being chastised. Now we are being punished. We may know or not, but it is the place of punishment. We are being punished. And it is just a question of understanding why. Why, just like here, the question was being made in this letter, that do the souls learn by this suffering? Do they learn by this suffering? And this is similar to the question that Professor Urquhart was posing in Srila Prabhupada's class when Srila Prabhupada was a student. He was trying to break the faith of the Hindus, of the Indian people, trying to break their faith that this is wrong, this karma, this law of karma, there is something unjust, it would be totally unfair. Because where are the witnesses to your sin? Where are the witnesses to your fault? So Prabhupada said that later on, pondering on this question, he understood it was Paramatma, that's the witness. And it's interesting, Paramatma is the witness to two things. To the suffering, to the sins you performed, we performed. And to the punishment, to the suffering we also endured. That is also there. But full memory cannot be there because it will go against free will. And that's very important. Yes.
There's a point on principle that it's almost unfair in the material world, because when you're in youth, you actually do enjoy, although there may be suffering, but you don't really recognize it. All you really recognize is the enjoyment factor. You know, when you're in your teens, or when you're in your 8 or 9 or 6 or 7, and you're 14, 15, 16, there may be this suffering, so-called suffering. But really, material nature is almost, God's almost unfair, because all the way up to 25 or 30, you're enjoying like anything. Anything you touch, anything you do, practically speaking, is enjoyable. So how is it fair that we're saying, you know, this material world is miserable, but then there's a 15, 16, 17-year-old person who's enjoying life like anything? Although there may be a little bit of suffering there, still they're enjoying.
But can you pinpoint the exact what is the wrong?
Well, just remember,
you
our
say
youth.
That they're being tricked. That people are, that the human being is tricked because while he's a child.
Well, Krishna may be tricking us, or Maya may be tricking us. I mean, what? There's some problem there, because, you know, we're saying to people there's no enjoyment, but at the same time, Someone can be sitting right next to you and they're thinking like they're enjoying like anything.
But they may be even enjoying.
Just like Charvakamuni says, you know.
But there are two things. What I don't understand from your presentation, or you have to define clearly, because I see two things there. So what is the unfairness by Krishna? Where is the unfairness that he has placed, that there is a small enjoyment, that there is little enjoyment that is tricking the human being?
Yeah.
So you see that
that's
that
the
is...
point.
So the answer to that would be that this... You know, there's several ways to see that. And one way is that, first of all, you went all the way to 25 years old. But, for example, you said youth and you went 20, 25. But do you remember at what time, at what age you joined Krishna consciousness?
At 21 when I was enjoying it.
So that was... Anyway, so that was 21. That's 4 years short from 25. So you were able. And Prahlad Maharaj, at what age did he notice the trick? When did he realize it? He was five. So in spite of Gurukula, actually, in his case, because he wasn't being taught any of this, and he was taught in the womb Gurukula, in his mother's womb. And that's where he met his guru, Narada Muni. So there are many, I was saying there are many ways to see this, and I will end. I mean, I've extended myself more than I should have. So one way is to see that this world, we can see where we are. What are the things that are built into this world? So we have, by free will, come to this world to a place where these things are there. But the opportunity, that's the importance of this Krishna consciousness movement, to enlighten people, to have them see how this enjoyment is not worth it. What is the... We have to contrast it, put it in contrast with the enjoyment that we have abandoned, that we have given up. So there is... little enjoyment. And Prabhupada has spoken, we have this story of Bilva Mangala Thakur as one example. As an example of someone who got corrected, but not everybody. It is a big risk to be in this world precisely because of this. And Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur, Srila Prabhupada explains, one of the places in Path of Perfection and other places, in a lecture also, that he, in his previous life, he almost achieved, he was on the stage of bhava bhakti, ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. And still, something happened, it is not explained, and he fell. And because of that verse, because of Krishna's teaching in Bhagavad Gita, that someone who has advanced in his previous life, in the next life, he will be born in a family of pious brahmanas or rich merchants. So Prabhupada says this is very risky. And he gives the example of Bilva Mangala Thakur because he was born in the midst of so-called enjoyment. Prabhupada says with a silver spoon in his mouth. And therefore, for some time he became a devotee. For some time he was trying to enjoy. But he was fortunate still. Somehow or other, like we're saying, Paramatma, the witness is there. And his guru, because he had a guru in his previous life, so his guru still was helping him. So it is said that his guru manifested. His guru went to look for him, Prabhupada says, in the house of a prostitute. Don't do that. Don't have your guru go look for you in the house of a prostitute. Prabhupada says there, Path of Perfection. So he went... So the guru went there and transformed, you know, and spoke through the prostitute, transformed the prostitute and transformed him. And he was able to recognize his previous, although it may not have come full consciously, he was able to recognize and still he was completely convinced and still on the way to Vrindavan, arriving in Vrindavan, still his eyes betrayed him. And he became attracted to a married lady. Still. So it is always a risk. It is always a risk. And it is just a question of consciousness, of realization. And that is the importance precisely of this Krishna consciousness movement. And our response, it is lying. That responsibility is now on us. As we see, if we don't give Krishna consciousness, it will not be received. That's the way it is transmitted. Krishna consciousness is transmitted. And it is very important that we that we have this mercy on the people of continuing pushing on this Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari. Hari Krishna.